Hey everyone, it's Eric Gouge and
Jamie Goucher.
And we are Small Town Talk.
Apparently we're conforming to commercial radio.
Well, we still don't have a intro song, so I gotta just do it my own every time. It's the same, but not the same.
But it sounds like a game show.
Well, it kind of is a game show.
It's not a game show. It's like, a podcast.
But it's like a thing like you want to, you know, it's like The Price is Right, right? You want to listen to it and it's a song, you know, gets you like pumped up. Going to win some stuff, but you're not going to win anything except for great information.
Everything you say is contradicting.
I don't think so. I don't believe that.
You're not going to win stuff. This is not a game show.
No, you're going to win sweet information about our town. That's what you're going to win today. Is some sweet information about our town.
I just want to apologize to all our listeners.
You know, don't judge me. All right. We're just having a good time here.
All right. Well, welcome to Small Town Talk. Small Town Talk. Got some new events coming up.
New events coming up. What's going on in Edmonds?
Well, I think the biggest news is that we literally just came from the Market Fishmonger and Eatery's soft opening, and were order number one.
And it was amazing.
It might be the most dangerous thing to enter Edmonds.
Yeah, they're gonna be killing our budget for lunches.
So what did we have?
We had the shrimp tostada.
It's fresh shrimp, a fresh tostada, and then they had a mole sauce on it with a mango salsa.
And then we had the fish tacos, which was very good.
Yeah, the batter was nearly perfect.
And then we also had the lobster roll.
Lobsters. Boston. That lobster roll was just bananas.
It was good.
The bun is still eluding me as to how it is so soft and pillowy.
And those fries are great.
But then was still like got the crisp butter outside. Like, how do they do it?
And it was good chunks of lobster too. That was
yeah. And the fries were
bomb.com.
Needless to say, we ate every single bite.
It's all gone. Delicious. Great job.
So they're opening June 13th.
Wednesday, June 13th. Just in time for Father's Day weekend.
A gift to all the fathers in Edmonds.
Go eat some and everybody delicious else. Fish.
It's a gift to everybody.
And they also got a bunch of, they've got king crab in there, snow crab. You can buy boxes of it. You can buy all sorts of
condiments, seasonings, oils. And then it's going to be a fish market, which tonight was just a soft opening to taste the takeout food. But you will be able to order
get all sorts of stuff.
You could get like a whole fish.
Yeah, and they'll cook it for you if you want. If you're, you know, if you don't know how to cook it, it's cool. I think it's gonna be a.
I don't think he knows maybe how busy he's gonna be.
There's always gonna be a line.
I mean, I think he knows. I'm sure he knows because he knows how bomb that food is.
I hope they start calling orders so I can call in and walk over.
I'm order 107, and it's just like waiting on the.
Yeah, like Starbucks. You know, like Starbucks now, you can just like call in technically, and just it's there waiting for you.
Yeah, and it was really cute inside. I liked the inside. It had a little counter.
Yeah, it was comfortable, and they had a place to eat. And
then the boxes were really nice. We both commented on the takeout boxes because it was like they're a little bit taller than a normal takeout box, so your food doesn't get smushed.
You ain't going to get smushed tacos.
I thought it was nice that there was a lot of consideration that went into the thought process.
He did a good job.
Yeah, stellar. I mean, I think we all knew this was going to not be a bust, but
he's doing good. Good things.
We also have the art festival.
The art festival.
It's Father's Day
weekend. Hopefully it's not raining. It's just.
Well, it usually does rain.
Hopefully the swamp, the center field swamp doesn't come back this year. City Edmonds, you need to get that fixed.
It's called a French drain.
Bend your French drain that swamp.
It's June 15th through 17th, and it's at the Francis Anderson Center off Main Street.
Oh, and there's a new playground, too.
That's coming out this week, I think.
So just in time, the playground that was 5 years old got torn out for the new playground that is now brand new. Congratulations, we got a new playground.
Still, needless to say, I think they're kind of redoing the food situation.
Oh, that's good.
So it seems like there's going to be some cool, maybe more local eats at the art festival this year.
Well, I think we need that too because...
It was a lot of fair food.
Yeah, fair food just... Fair food is not good for the body. Like, it sounds good in theory, but then in practice...
Maybe, like, one fair food item is good.
Yeah,
an elephant ear.
Oh, yeah, you can never go wrong with that, but...
But then if your whole day of eating...
I feel like a lot of sodium.
It's a lot... MSGs, yeah.
The MSG is real.
But it's a free event to go into, so there's no cover to get in.
There's lots of arts...
Yeah, and stuff. There's some music, and there's a kids exhibit, and then on the roof is the wine garden.
I have no idea.
The library is the, I think, wine and beer garden.
Okay. Get drunk, and you can go read some books.
Well, it's a nice view from up there.
It is probably one of the better views.
So you could start up there, have a couple drinks... Meander down, get some food.
Go buy some
and then
some
peruse art, and buy some art.
And then get home and realize it looks horrible in your house because your house, you know, doesn't
look that's a very little well. Negative, but
I or it think could look amazing.
Most people are positive about their purchases.
This is very true.
Okay, and then also the farmer's market, the Saturday market.
The full farmer's market.
Is starting that same weekend, June 16th.
And I just have to give a shout out right now to the pie person down there.
To the who?
To the pie person. To the pie
lady. Oh, the pie.
I don't know what the name of her company is.
Isn't it like Snohomish Pies or something?
No, no, it's not Snohomish. They're out of Shoreline.
Oh.
It's the world's biggest crust, and it is amazing. Has to be Crisco on the crust. I'm guaranteeing it. It is delicious. If you want an amazing pie and you don't want to cook it because you don't got the time, go to Saturday Market. Go check out the pie person.
It's nice too because they have smaller versions. So yeah,
they got the mini, the medium, and the large. So
like, I'm not a big dessert person, so it was nice because you could get a little pie.
Because believe it or not, I am a very big dessert person.
I think everyone believes it. It's not a believe it or not, but but it was nice because you could get a little pie,
yeah.
And then I got beans. Green beans. Yeah. That was my treat.
You got beans and I got pie. A Marionberry pie. We got a peach pie there, remember, on Mother's Day.
Yeah, that was
and
really
that
good.
That was really good too. I can't say enough about the pies. Go buy all of her pies because they are delicious.
And Vespucci pizza.
Oh, yeah, the pizza's there now.
Sam, who was the pasta guy, has now brought in a wood-fired pizza situation. And I got the biggest pizza I've ever had. I think last year he did mini pizzas, and this year it's just cooking the whole pizzas, but you can get either a whole pizza to buy or just a slice, but the slice is like giant. It was huge, and it was so good.
And he's good at cooking it too, which helps a lot.
And he's really nice. Talk to him. Talk over the counter where he's making them. He wants to talk to you. There was also some good rhubarb that I'm really eyeing for next week.
Burn cash for the rhubarb, though.
Bring cash for the rhubarb.
Just throwing that out there. What else is going on? What else we got going on?
I think
now?
The last eminent event is one of our favorites, Scratch Distillery. They're having an event that's gin and yoga. So you do yoga.
And then you drink.
In the distillery. And then you get to have some gin.
Oh.
What's better than that? And that is on June 9th.
June 9th.
You can sign up online.
You can work out, sweat, and then go drink.
It's the best of everything.
I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could handle
that. We stopped in at Scratch this week and said hi to Kim and tried their new mint vodka.
It was really good.
It was really good. I can't remember how many pounds of mint she said went into it, but it was some...
It was a lot. It was like
obscene amount of mint.
8 to 12 pounds of mint.
No, it was more than
that. I don't think it was, yeah. But...
It was like it was all the mint in all of Snohomish County. She had to
gather,
and it went into this batch. So
it's like the world's biggest mojito.
It was good.
It was good. It was very refreshing, and I can't wait to drink more of it.
So who'd we interview this week?
So this week, We sat down with the owner of 190 Sunset.
Tom.
Tom. And we learned about his business, which has been open for a couple years. And
he also broke some news with us. We're the first ones. So
some news that they that will... You'll hear it later in the podcast, I guess. And
we'll let him tell
the story. We'll let him tell you what's going on with their place. And yeah, so we sat down for a good little conversation, learned about where he came from and where they're going and how he ended up back in Edmonds after all this time. And yeah.
Also, it was really cool to kind of hear all the events going on.
A lot of stuff going on down there.
Salish is going to go through a little bit of a change.
The Salish Crossing?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you'll find out later.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening.
And enjoy this interview. And if you are a DJ or a music producer or anyone that would be on Fiverr doing stuff like that... look us up, and because we do need an intro song still, and we are like 15 episodes in, and we don't have an intro song. So,
and if you're a business,
and you want to be interviewed,
hit us up: Facebook, Instagram, email.
Small Town Talk.
Our email is smalltowntalkpnw.
PNW.
Smalltowntalkpnw@gmail.
We can interview you and have a good time. So. Enjoy the interview. Talk to everyone later.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Everyone, this is Jamie.
This is Eric.
And this is Small Town Talk. Today we are here with Tom Budnick at 190 Sunset.
Tom, welcome.
Hey, good morning.
How's it going?
Excellent. Nice to be here. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for sitting down with us and allowing us to come into your great restaurant here in Edmonds and... Salish Crossing, the newest addition to Edmonds, I guess you could say right now.
We call it the Waterfront District.
The Waterfront District.
All right.
That's pretty, I think that's the rightful name for it right now.
Yeah. So give us a little bit of your background pre-190.
Sure. Well, I'm from Seattle. I grew up on Queen Anne and, started in the restaurant business at a very young age. I was 14 when I started at an old iconic restaurant called the 13 Coins.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Been there.
Would work there as a dishwasher all the way up to chef over a 10-year period. And that company, Ward Enterprises, also owned the El Gaucho, so I would intermittently work at the original El Gaucho down at the 7th and Olive location downtown for some time. And then eventually spread my wings. Went next to work for Restaurants Unlimited, the old Restaurants Unlimited, different company today, but the company that had about 25 mostly waterfront locations, the Cutters, Palominos, Scott's, Kincaid's, and Palisades was certainly their flagship restaurant.
Yeah.
Had a lot of fun with them working for my mentor and named Rich Coleman, who started and founded that company. Taught me a lot about running a business, especially in this industry. And then from there, eventually left town. I think I had to leave Seattle to appreciate Seattle.
Yeah.
I went in my early 20s, I moved from here to Houston. And then to Dallas, and then to Kansas City, and eventually made my way to St. Louis, where I met my wife and started a family. We had been gone for, almost 25 years, and we moved back to Edmonds about 8 years ago, and ended up here in Edmonds, and had many friends that lived here when I was growing up, and so spent a lot of time here. And Edmonds was the coolest part about moving back was Edmonds was the way I remembered it 25 years ago. You probably wouldn't agree because you've seen it grow up.
Yeah.
There's more restaurants. There's more stuff.
We were young enough during when original Edmonds.
Yeah,
we were
pre-Milltown
being remodeled.
There you go.
Yeah, we were mostly,
we joke when the
we
only
still remember
thing
Edmonds.
In town was the AMPM.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the coolest part was moving back when it didn't grow up.
Yeah.
It's the way I remembered it 25 years ago, which is absolutely what I love about it. I'm raising two kids, age 15 and almost 19 now, and they love it. And they feel totally safe. They love riding their bikes and playing downtown Edmonds or whatnot. So it's just, I call it Mayberry.
Yeah.
You're too young to know what Mayberry means.
Oh, no.
Mayberry is from the Mayberry RFD show.
Yeah.
And the Andy Griffith show, I think it was filmed in North Carolina, but it reminds me so much of that show where everybody knew everybody, yep. And everybody was really connected
and friendly,
absolutely.
Yeah, there's not a lot of places, I think, around even the Northwest in general that you can walk down the street and someone says hi to you. You know?
Exactly, yeah.
And it's so funny when you're out of town or you see someone that's from out of town and you say hi to them.
Yeah.
Because I've grown up here, I've always said hi to everyone.
Yeah.
That's how I was raised. My family grew up here, and they're kind of stunned when you say hi to them. You know, they're like, whoa, you know.
Well, even
people
some
can
of
tell
they're
in a different area.
You know, Erickson Real Estate, some of his clients have even said, like, wow, people are so friendly here. It's just so refreshing.
It's a special place. You know, yeah. I think it reminds me. So I said earlier I grew up on Queen Anne.
Oh, yeah.
Queen Anne really grew up.
Yeah.
I also come from three generations of Alaska fishermen. So we spent a lot of time in Ballard. Ballard, the only restaurant when I was growing up, was Hattie's Hat. They're still there, probably. A pretty popular place, I think, for younger people, late at night, perhaps. But Ballard exploded, as we know. Just tons of restaurants, no parking, and it really came on strong. Magnolia. When you think about those three cities, those little three towns, Magnolia, Queen Anne, Ballard, and Edmonds, they all have one thing in common. You don't pass through there to get anywhere,
mm-hmm.
which means if you lived in Magnolia and went to high school, people would hate to come over to your house because hard to get to. But out of those three communities, Edmonds is the only one, in my opinion, that's left unspoiled.
Right.
You know, because you don't cross through here to get anywhere, except the ferry, of course. We've kind of escaped some of the big city.
Yeah.
Right.
The Edmonds bubble.
The Edmonds bubble.
The Edmonds bubble. You know, if you...
You don't have to leave
you
Edmonds.
You don't realize what's going on outside of the Edmonds bubble, you know?
Yeah.
It's a real thing. It absolutely is.
It is a real thing,
And we're the only small town that really has a core downtown, walkable, area, which makes us completely different. Unless you have to go up to Mount Vernon or Snohomish is really where you kind of get that small town feel. But right outside the city, you know, being a suburb of Seattle, we're a completely different feel than anywhere else, which makes having a business down here great. You know, and having new restaurants like yours pop up, and it's awesome.
It's really special. I couldn't imagine living anywhere else, frankly.
Yeah,
it's truly special. But it's interesting. So Main Street, you're right. Talking about Main Street. We're creatures of habit, right? So oftentimes we don't get off Main Street, right? And one of our biggest, goals in the coming years will be to connect what Carolyn talked about earlier, and that's connecting Main Street to the beachscape. We created this waterfront district, and it's really, things are happening. I mean, across the hall, probably be a great another podcast for you to interview the folks from Cascadia Art Museum.
Yeah, they're on our list.
The only museum of its kind, dedicated to one thing, a Northwest art.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's really fabulous. The other thing is, there's a lot of development. You know Kim from Scratch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know Jack from Bridget's Bottle Works, but we've really created kind of our own little Melrose Market type of entertainment venue, because when people, our guests, come to our restaurant, they might start over in the tasting room at Kim's and Brian's. They might do a genealogy class and then end up dinner at our place.
I've definitely done that.
we certainly do wine dinners here at 190 Sunset. In fact, we recently did one just last week with Mark Ryan Winery.
Oh, cool.
But so often, it's actually easier to pair our Northwest fare with beer and also distilled spirits.
Right.
So we also do that. We had a bourbon dinner here, for example, about
That's
a month
fun.
Ago for 50 folks. And it was a really fun, decadent evening. We paired... five courses with five rare bourbons, and had the folks from the bourbon distillery here. It's just grand fun.
Yeah,
it
is.
We got something a lot. It's just fun.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about the Edmonds bubble. You know, when I visit our guests, I love to touch every table when I can when I'm here. And
I was gonna say, you've come by and said hi.
Yeah. What's my favorite part? And inevitably, I end up thanking our guests for being here. And the ultimate accolade I get oftentimes is, no, Tom, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
And what they mean by that is, thanks. We no longer have to drive to Ballard or the East Side or downtown, because finally we have a destination restaurant that's fun and hip and interesting here in our own backyard.
Right.
So.
Well, and even it's a very welcoming environment. And I think that one of the biggest things for me was your patio.
it's so fun to have a nice big patio, which, I mean, Edmonds has a couple small patios, but it's one of the larger.
Yeah, the patio.
We have the biggest deck in Edmonds.
Well, yeah, by far. And if, you know, and everyone wants to, you know, to have that, but obviously people can't have that, you know, because they're limited. You're fortunate to be able
you're
to build
You're not restricted
this,
by the sidewalks.
Well, it's better than having the biggest deck in Edmonds than saying Tom's the biggest deck in Edmonds.
Okay. You are the king of decks.
But it is king fun. And all those doors, I think you know, as you've been here perhaps during the summer, all those patio doors right. just slide open to let yeah. the outside in and the inside out.
Right.
And it's fun. So tonight, by the way, we'll start our Sunset Live series. So we're going to have, we're going to kick off some jazz every Thursday night during the summer on the patio.
That's nice. Cool.
Weather permitting, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that'll be great fun, too. We're really, I think, filling a void. The only other really music in town is Engels, and you know, they certainly fill a niche, more of a biker bar with a band. But yeah. we're just having a couple pieces, more background music, but also something to keep people out. So we're starting it after 8 p.m., by the way, so after nice. Kind of dinner dies down a little bit.
Like stop
and to give
for
hopefully
a drink.
Some of the younger folk yeah. or folk that enjoy having a nightcap or something to do.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. And I like that it's jazz, because sometimes if the bands are a little over aggressive or loud, it's hard to
concentrate,
you know, or like where you want to watch
I'm
but still have
deaf,
a conversation.
So I can't hear anything. I can't yeah. when it gets too loud. I just
he's got tinnitus.
I just
so.
I just nod. I nod. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, it's time to
if
go.
If you ever want me
to
agree with everything that's going on, just put loud music next to me or in a bar setting, and you'll get me to agree.
Like
with everything.
A you awesome. Know club, you know, really that's loud awesome. Places. But so it's nice that you're picking a genre of music that's both relatable to a lot of ages,
a little relaxing,
but yeah, not so intense for
yeah
years. So you mentioned though that you moved to Edmonds. So when you moved back, is that when you started this restaurant, or was there
I did. So kind of a funny story. When I moved back, my best friend in St. Louis, where I was most recently living, I was telling him about this wonderful place and told him couldn't wait for him to visit. And his name is Brian. And Brian says, Tom, do you have an Annie Gunn's type of restaurant in Edmonds? And what he meant was that was our favorite restaurant, by
okay.
the way,
okay.
in our community back in St. Louis. And it was a really special restaurant. Mm-hmm. It was kind of an Irish pub, but it really had a diverse menu, and it was adjacent to what they called the Smokehouse Market, which was a 100-year-old smokehouse that did all their own meats, cheeses, wines. Just a really beautiful Di Lorente style or Dean and DeLuca style store connected to a wonderful, fabulous restaurant that was remarkably consistent, probably the most expensive place in town, but it was our place.
Yeah.
It was really, really special. And I felt really special when I went there.
Right.
So I said, no, Brian, we don't. And he goes, well, you're going to have to fix that. And I live here in Edmonds off Talbot Road and live on the water and have a pool. We entertain a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have another goal of mine was to turn my many villager friends, we call ourselves villagers, into paying guests.
Yeah.
So some of the last toasts at my home have been over wine at an Italian dinner is, cheers, because the restaurant's opening soon to turning you leeches into paying guests. So that was my other goal. But I was actually prodded by my villager friends too to open something, because they knew I came from the business and loved to entertain. And so it's kind of a natural. But we did so in September of 2016 is when we swung open the doors, so it's going on 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what we kind of created or hoped to create here was something a little different. You know, there's a lot of good restaurants in town, mostly kind of mom and pop.
Mm-hmm.
No one really spent a ton of money like we did, frankly, on a build out that was pretty elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're next to a couple of local restaurants that have been here for 30 years, Arnie's and Anthony's.
Yep.
So a lot of competition in town, but we truly set out to create something a little different from any of those other places.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, again, wonderful restaurants. But what our goal was is, well, you know, our menu is really, we're kind of coined it Northwest Fresh. It's a diverse menu. It's what we call kind of foods for all moods. I wanted you, when you came into our restaurant, to feel as comfortable coming off your boat in Docksiders and shorts coming in for a gourmet burger and an ice cold beer. Mm-hmm. But I wanted you to feel equally as comfortable on date night.
Right.
Coming in dressed to the nines before the ballet or the opera or a show at the ECA.
Right. Yeah.
So it's that kind of something for everybody here. Right. You know, our tagline is meet, eat, drink. I also didn't want you to think about really coming here on, you know, a payday for that special meal or that anniversary or, mm-hmm. or hey, you got a sitter type of meal. I wanted to just, like I said, come down. It's where I wanted a social club. I wanted it to be the place that you meet a friend for drink, maybe grab a bite, might morph into dinner or lunch. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It's a social gathering place. That's really what I set out to accomplish. And so anyway, yeah.
I definitely think you achieved it. I mean, I've done all of those things that you've mentioned. So we came opening week and we got the first bites of it. So we've definitely.
Yeah, I think everyone was really excited when, you know, it's always nice to have something new added. And I feel like over the last 10 years, more and more stuff keeps getting added to Edmunds and to the food. You know, it's not just Claire's and, like you said, Anthony's and Arnie's, which I remember when I was growing up, that was always, you went to Anthony's and Arnie's for dinner. You know, you went to the Beach Cafe, you went to, you know, which was, you know, it was good then. But, you know, things have changed, and it's nice to have something a little more special, intimate, you know.
And locally owned.
Yeah, and a little more modern.
It's not so much a chain that's, you know, which... And I mean, it's a great place to eat, but it's nice that it's someone that's like invested in the community, invested in the what's best for the community, and kind of sees the ins and outs and needs of, you know, their friends and their fellow, you know, family. That's good. And so you found this place right away, or did?
No, you know, I probably looked for about a year, just kind of driving around, just kind of, it was in the back of my head. You know,
like if the right place speaks to you kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's funny. And you may know the story, but this was a Safeway back in the 1960s. and more recently, for probably the last 20 years, it was kind of a beat up old antique mall. Yeah.
I remember my biggest memory. Yeah, it was the Washdog. And growing up was Mike the Mover was here with the cannon. He had the cannon out in the truck. Remember?
Yeah.
The cannon. They used to crack me up. You know. It's changed so much from what it used to be. I think the Echobargers did a really good job when they came in and kind of just revitalized the area and, you know, put in
which is such valuable. Location to like have it not have thriving, you know, places that are going to really draw people down to the water.
And they kept the memory of Edmunds, you know, with the old schoolhouse, you know, the school doors that are out there and all that stuff. And it really feels a part of the community now more than it ever did when it was not fixed up and, you know, just a strip mall, it felt like before. And they had a sinking parking lot.
It's still evolving too. We got a couple new tenants coming in next door.
Yeah.
You know, all this will be redeveloped. You see all the construction just across the street coming out of the ferry. Harbor Square will eventually be redeveloped, but there's just so much going on here. You think of, so why I was compelled about choosing this location was so many reasons. One, having a huge deck was enormously interesting to me, but having parking.
Which
is a rarity.
In Edmonton. Dedicated but parking.
The other thing was, the other things that were, gosh, when you looked at the location, 4 million people pass our street right here on Sunset to go on the ferry every year. 4 million people a year. 1,200 people a day go through the Harbor Square Athletic Club. We're located, as you well know, across the street from the only hotel in town, the Harbor Inn. You've got to pass right by my space to go down to your boat in the marina, or to head down to one of three beaches, or head down to the famous diving park. If you commute on the Sounder train, the
train station's
right behind me, and we share the parking lot.
I definitely have walked not to my car, but to the bar before I had my kids.
Exactly. So there's just, like I said, so many compelling reasons that this location seemed like the right spot for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely are like at the vortex of transportation.
I alluded to Annie Gunn's and that Smokehouse Market back in Missouri. So always part of my original vision was to have a market. So we're taking over Bridget's Bottle Works here.
Oh, really?
He's going to be moving next door to a fabulous new location. It's a bigger location.
Oh, wow. We'll
also have a deck and some garage doors that will open up to get some southern exposing sun. So it'll be good for him. But I'm really excited because we're connected. We're already, there's a door to
the
space.
You're already,
I was going to say, there's direct access.
I mean,
already.
It almost is actually up. I mean, you know, because it's open.
Open,
you know, it's
hilarious.
A part
yeah,
of
the
it,
ceilings
right?
are open, which is a fun little hindrance sometimes. For example, this is our private dining room we're sitting
right.
in here today.
Yeah.
We can house about 80 people in here depending upon the room configuration. But the funny story is we had some financial planners holding a meeting here, and they were about to give their pitch to a high net worth group of individuals. And at that split second, they're doing the PowerPoint presentation. Our friend next door kicked off, not intentionally, it was planned, of course, but he kicked off, what do you call that beanbag game? Cornhole?
A game of cornhole?
And they're dogs barking, because since they don't serve food, they
can
have dogs
in there.
And people love that. So the dogs are barking, the cornhole's going, music's going, and they're yelling profanities. It was awesome.
And then they're in here trying to give a pitch.
Yeah, exactly. Fortunately, they quieted it down for the 15-minute presentation, and it was all fine. But it was quite comical.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'll be adding the market. We're going to call this the market at 190 Sunset. We're known for our steaks and seafood here, and as we talked about, I come from a third generation of fishmongers. In fact, my grandfather, there's a picture right behind the hostess stand of my grandfather who opened up his fish market in 1910.
Wow.
Which is now what Pike Place Market's located in, but it was called Rainier Fish Company.
Wow.
And my relatives still run several fish companies down there, including Pure Food Fish Company down in Pike Place Market today. but we're going to sell our steak and seafoods in there, our wine, our cheese, and a whole host of accompaniments. But most importantly, it's what we call the home meal replacement category. So as you know, perhaps being young people, you're cooking home at less, you like to go out. I know you guys have young kids, but perhaps would like to go out more often.
Yeah.
That's really the trend, is it's more in right now.
Exactly.
We'd like to go.
But anyway, the biggest, fastest growing, I should say, segment of the restaurant business is what we call home meal replacement, which means my goal is when you provisioning your boat or hopping on the ferry or commuting down on the Sounder train, we hope that you'll stop in here or stop back for the chicken parms to go that are already prepared, our smoked scallops, our shrimp, our steaks to throw on the barbecue.
So a high-quality...
High-quality prepared for foods. Like many people at Point Edwards up here in the condos, these beautiful million-dollar condos, are oftentimes... cooking for one or two people.
Yeah.
So they prefer just to run down, have a drink.
It makes it a lot easier.
They're busy.
Exactly.
Well, and then, cooking too, as we have got busier in our lives and, I feel like we're all going a million miles an hour, it's a lot harder to cook. I mean.
Yeah.
Juggle.
Luckily, she loves cooking and is an outstanding cook. So that really helps us. We're fortunate for
that. But I'm also a stay-at-home mom. I mean, yes, the kids are, it is juggling to cook a meal, but I have time to meal prep and, start something early. But, for most people, that's not the case. And it is more of a like, hey, let's not cook tonight. Let's dine in. Or if there was an option where things are pre-seasoned.
It makes it easier.
Yeah,
it makes it so much easier.
Well, last night, by the way, Harbor Square has a fitness challenge. I think they call it about 80 people.
Yeah.
and one of their biggest challenges were what can they cook during this challenge? So we teamed up with them, and we just had our second cooking demonstration in this room last evening, for example.
Oh, cool.
And it was last Wednesday before that.
Event
it was.
Them?
We had about 30 folks in here that were involved in the challenge. And we did Chef Skyler, our enormously talented chef. He's a classically trained cordon bleu chef.
Amazing.
Who has worked at some of the finer hotels and restaurants in town. He loves... He most recently came from Fair Start. And I don't know if you know what Fair Start is.
Yeah.
A chain of restaurants that are, for the most part, attracting underprivileged kids sometimes to bring them in as apprentices.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the cool part of that experience is he loves being a teaching chef. In fact, several of his folks followed him here to our restaurant. But anyway, he loves teaching. He loves giving demonstrations. So this was a really fabulously successful couple of series that we did. And we're going to open it up now to a regular event. Where we're doing cooking classes in here.
Oh, wow.
And we're always doing things. We're doing, Niles, who you just met, Niles Peacock.
Hi.
I hired him for his name, by the way. Niles Peet.
Is that his real name? Is that his real name?
It is. And Skylar Gamer. Skylar Gamer is our chef. I hired him both those for their names. just so passionate. I
hired him before you met him.
Before you even opened.
Exactly. Niles, as you know, was named Best Bartender in Western Washington by King 5. In fact,
big accolade.
Evening Magazine will be out here to do a segment on him next week. But he's a cool cat, and he's really as passionate about food as Skylar is about all things liquid, I like to say. He's the most knowledgeable guy I think our guests have ever met. Our cocktails are as important as our food.
Yeah.
And so many of our guests come to 190 not knowing what they're going to have. They just know that, Niles, here's what I'm in the mood for. You know what I like. Fix me up. Mm-hmm. And he'll give you a dissertation. He'll give you more information than you probably ever wanted to know. I encourage our guests to try to stump him. You can't stump Niles. We had a couple.
You should make that like a promotion or something.
Yeah, there you go.
I think we will. Most recently, I was laughing at the fact they were just back from Croatia. I'm Croatian, by the way.
Oh, nice.
We had a party of eight here about 3 months ago. And the whole family live here in Edmonds part of the year and then Croatia the other part of the year.
Wow.
And the cool part of the story is I was talking to them, and they were telling me they're headed over to Croatia for the next 3 months. And they were talking about Niles, and you can't stump him. They go, we can stump Niles. And I go, you think so, huh? And he goes, well, we have a plum brandy they started out that's indigenous to our region called Slivovitz. And I said, oh, God, I'm familiar with Slivovitz. I'm Croatian. I grew up on that god-awful plum brandy that's like gasoline. And they said, yeah, but we make it special. And I invited Niles over at that spitz. I said, Niles, come over, because I knew they were going somewhere, and I thought maybe this is the chance to snuff Niles. They started talking about what they do with Slivovitz in their village in the island of Dubrovnik. And anyway, make a long story short, they said, Niles, do you know what we call that? And he paused, looked down sleepishly, and said, well, it's actually not your own village. It's every village takes Slivovitz as their core product and make it their own by adding two or three ingredients. And that what then becomes known as raki. And they go, oh, Jesus, oh, God damn you. Oh, we're going to bring you raki. We're going over tomorrow. We're coming. And they were just here.
Yeah.
And they were just here a week ago. I said, did you bring me my raki? They said, no, but Dad's still over there. He comes back in 2 weeks. We're bringing
we'll
you
bring
your
raki.
But anyways, just a typical story.
That's incredible.
He's like an idiot savant. I want him to count cards or do something useful with this information, right? But no.
He needed to cash in on this here.
He's going to tell you the year that drink was invented, the hotel, maybe, or if where it was invented, the bartender's name,
wow.
How it evolved over the years. It's crazy. It's really...
That sounds like my family in cars. My family, they've grown up in Edmonds. We've been the member of the car show. We've, you know... But they know everything about cars. You can, the most obscure car ever that no one knows about, that there was only 100 of them made.
It's weird.
And they'll tell you what it is. And
it's like
you know,
a sponge effect or something.
Yeah,
you
know? Same thing.
Like, well, it's a thing. It's like, well, it's not that useful. And, you know, if only you could just harness this.
Well, it is if it's your job.
Well, yeah, you know, it's useful for making good cocktails.
Now, if it's your hobby.
Well, one of the things we did, too, to take advantage of that knowledge and to kind of share it with the community is Niles has created what we call cocktail classes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to call them drinking schools. We thought it was a little bit more
appropriate. That's a college
I can get behind. to have them cocktail classes. But we have generally groups of 20 people on a Sunday afternoon. The first one we did, by the way, we started with Scratch Distillery and mm-hmm. Kim and Brian and did the tour and the background on gin. And then it came over and made four gin cocktails.
Nice.
And you got a diploma, by the way.
Oh, hey.
Niles likes to say drinking school, now cocktail school, is not just for the bad kids, and it's better than the principal's office. But it's really great fun, and we're going to continue that series of events. So we're always doing stuff.
Yeah.
Whether it be the cooking demonstrations or the cocktail classes. One of the things we did last year, we hope it'll become an annual event, much like the chowder cook-off. Mm-hmm. We think this is more fun. Anything's more fun with booze, right? But we did, and you may have attended that. We had about 200 people here. We did the first annual bartender, the first annual Edmunds Bartender Classic.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
So we gathered up all the bartenders from the local restaurants, mm-hmm. and we competed with an all-star judge panel of judges, including TV personalities, and the mayor was here, and
yep.
and it was grant fun, and they all competed. So we're hoping that will be an annual kind of gig for us
That's
as well.
Cool.
I think I was pregnant during the last.
Yeah, you were.
So it would have probably been were. We not looked come. Upon well. If
not I so much fun to come down when you're pregnant to one of those things.
We'll have to check it out this year for sure.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Well, the other things we recently created is what we're calling the Bermuda Triangle. And if you think about where we are, we're yep. directly across the street from two wonderful local brewers.
Brewers, yep.
Gallagher's and, of course, American. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Kim. Kim actually uses some of their product to make distilled
yep.
spirits,
yep.
as do we.
Which is delicious.
So Niles actually uses an IPA from next door to brew down into a simple syrup for one of our cocktails.
Oh,
so,
wow.
That's really interesting.
So we created this Bermuda Triangle. We're going to have some shirts made. And... God, what are the shirts going to say? I conquered Edmunds. Yeah, the Bermuda Triangle.
I conquered Edmunds.
But it's going to be kind of cool. So yeah. we're starting that series as well. So, like I said, we're always doing stuff.
Yeah.
Because what I found is we all want to get together in the community.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we just need reason to do so. We're kicking off another thing we're kicking off recently is Martini Mondays.
Ooh.
And so a group of people will get together here in this room. And design, paint, hand paint, bejewel martini glasses, which will then they'll store for us for their use when they come back
in.
Oh,
so kind of like the mug club, but
exactly.
for booze.
Yeah, exactly.
Martini
mug club,
club,
but funner.
Yeah.
Like we talked about, everything's funner with booze.
And
then we're also doing Wine Wednesdays, and we'll do a similar thing with that.
Nice.
So, like I said, always just trying to keep it fresh, shake it up, and give people a chance together and have some fun.
Absolutely.
We definitely touch on a lot in past podcasts, that just the sense of community, but also of endorsing other fellow local businesses, which it sounds like you're really tuned in on.
What's good for us
is
good for them and vice versa.
Yeah.
So we really want to prop everybody up. And
which is unique.
Yeah, well, it's like I said, that's why I keep mentioning our neighbors.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, we are truly becoming a destination, particularly
Absolutely.
In the summer, of course, when you're going to come down to the beach. We're so close to downtown Seattle,
it's
I should say, and the many
season.
Cruise ships, visitors, or whatnot. But yeah, we're truly becoming a destination area, and we certainly set out to accomplish and establish a destination restaurant.
Yeah.
Well, and it, you know, and over the years, it's, like I said, it's grown so much, and there's so much stuff has been infused into Edmunds and really changed the community and the people coming up here. And, you know, I'm seeing more and more people come up from Ballard that, you know, used to love old Ballard when it wasn't so busy. And now, you know, Edmunds has that kind of feel, that more community feel, good restaurants. You can actually go to multiple places after 9 o'clock. And get a drink, get food. You know, it's not like, well, it used to be Rory's and Goldie's and then...
AMPM.
Well, AMPM. Yeah. You know, there was... And then Ingles, right?
Exactly.
You know, or when it used to be the biker bar more. And there wasn't a lot of places to go to get a drink after 8 o'clock, you know? And that's nice that you have that. You can actually go on a pub crawl or,
exactly.
you know, there's a lot of different things you can do, which is... so much nicer to have more restaurants than
locally than having
some
to drive
other
30
type
to 60
of stuff,
minutes
you know.
And traffic and just go down the street.
It's funny you mentioned Ballard, and we all mentioned Ballard multiple times in this talk, but I saw a great bumper sticker the other day, and it said, "Don't Ballardize Edmunds." And I get that.
We've talked about that.
I love it just
that.
The way it is, to
yeah.
be honest with you. I mean, it's
we've
just,
talked about that like 30 years from now, the potential of us becoming that if things don't.
Oh, I think our city fathers.
Yeah.
We'll be certain that doesn't happen anytime soon.
Yeah,
yeah no, I agree.
Yeah. And I think, and hats off to them, while many developers or ambitious, you know, business owners might hope for, you know, more explosive growth, I give them all the credit in the world for keeping it the way it is, because unlike the other places we talked about, Queen Anne, Magnolia, Ballard, it's this is what makes it special.
And you lose the charm.
You lose the charm.
And the historic elements and, you know, oh, look, that building is 1901 and what was it before? And, you know, you kind of lament on those past you know, experiences you had, and that, yes, it's changed, but it's still the shell of what Edmunds was.
Yep.
It hasn't really, I mean, even this building, it's still the shell of what it was, and we can say, oh, yeah, we were in Safeway right now, or, you know.
Yeah, look at those beautiful ceilings, you know.
Yeah.
When Safeway was here, of course, they have these drop ceilings, you know, those little cardboard drop ceilings.
Yep.
But look at these beautiful beams
that,
and these just natural, they built a hell of a building,
a
very structurally sound building. And by the way, the museum was built to Smithsonian standards.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, and they found out, gosh, fortunately, they didn't have to do a ton because Safeway built one heck of a store.
Yeah,
well, it turns out.
You know, we were at dinner at Salt and Iron a couple weeks ago, and I was looking across and at where Homeware or Housewares is and all that other places. And, you know, it's like you can look back in the Centennial book and it's, you know, the feed store and all that stuff. And it's the same buildings, you know, they're all virtually unchanged, you know, besides the inside's changed, but the outside still look the same. It's really cool.
City Hall has so many of those photos in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're ever there, to your point, they're really cool.
Yeah. It's really cool to see that, you know, and be a part of it. And I mean, it's really cool too that so many people of our age group that grew up in Edmunds are all trying to come back now. Now it's harder because things have gotten more expensive and things like that, but you know, everyone wants to return to Edmunds, and it's like, it's no longer the town that it used to be. It's really transforming, which is nice. So
I wanted to touch on your menu just a little. I know you kind of just talked about like where you source things from, but you definitely, I think dinner's the focus, but recently you brought on brunch and lunch. So maybe you want to touch a little bit on that.
Yeah, sure. We have a very diverse menu. It's a large menu. We recently expanded it with Chef coming on board we recently expanded it about 3 or 4 months ago. And so now it's just one menu. With the exception of brunch, it's one menu, six days a week that you can come in for lunch or dinner, and it's going to be the same menu.
Oh, that's nice.
But while there's certainly our signature steaks and seafood and dishes that we're known for, like our bone-in French pork chop, you can still get all those, but you can also come in and get one of a half a dozen salads, like our ahi tuna salad, which is our most popular, or our grilled cheese and some comfort food, like a grilled cheese with some tomato bisque.
You can never go wrong with a grilled cheese.
Yeah, one of our best sellers, it turns out. And then but you can also graze. My wife and I love to just graze when we go out. To sit at the bar is our favorite thing to do. And just graze at what we call our social plate section.
Yeah.
We have a large section of small plates that are perfect for sharing. So you could do that at lunch or anytime. So it's just kind of like I said, whatever you want. There's something what we, again, call foods for all moods and something at various price points. We do open for brunch on Sundays from 10 to 3, and brunch is becoming popular. We also added some experimenting with jazz. On jazz, we had the famous Jake Burgeon, who was here on Mother's Day with jazz, and we hope to continue that more often during the sunny brunch days.
So,
that's a little bit about the menu. It's diverse. It's focused on, whenever possible, local seasonal ingredients. The menu changes 3 or 4 times a year. But we're also, every day, it seems, peppering things in, phasing things out, peppering things in. Love to listen to our guests. Really love to feel their pulse on, hey, what they'd like to see on the menu or what they're not particularly fond of as well.
Yeah.
And so it's always, it's like ever-changing, and try to keep it fresh. And
what's your favorite thing on the menu? What's your pick? What's,
you know,
maybe of the moment.
Yeah.
That's a really great question. Our best seller, and certainly one of my favorites, is our crab cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Our crab cakes are Dungeness crab, not a lot of filler at all. And they outsell everything 3-1 on my menu. My favorite seafood dish would be our pan-roasted Alaskan halibut.
So good.
That would be our best-selling seafood item. Mm-hmm. I'm a steak guy living in Texas in the Midwest. I really enjoy steak. And my biggest bitch about moving back to Seattle or the Pacific Northwest was I just didn't feel the quality of beef was the same as what I became accustomed to in either Texas or the Midwest.
Yeah.
So what do? We import our beef from, it's all Nebraska grain-fed beef.
Oh, wow.
So long-winded answer to your questions, I love a good steak, and we have some of the best steaks in town.
Yeah.
So again, we'll sell those in the market as well.
Okay.
So those are 3 of my favorites. I'm really fond of our French onion soup. I love our wedge salad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm hungry.
Yeah, we had a great burger. You know, yeah. Pavlo Burger at least a couple of times a week. And those are some of my favorites.
Yeah. Cool.
Sounds good. Good to know. And then you have the happy hour with Niles.
Yeah, we have a good happy hour. We have a, you know, really is something that we do 6 days a week from 3 to 6 p.m. And then after 9 p.m. it opens up again, too. But we have an ever-changing happy hour menu as well. A dozen items there, like our, we call it our nacho average poke nacho would be our most popular happy hour dish. We've now, based upon our guests' demands, have now added that to our core menu as well, so they can have that anytime.
But perfect.
We, you know, have classics like, of course, things that you would experience in, you know, wings or calamari or regular nachos, but also just some fun things like our Brussels sprouts, our best seller now on our happy hour menu. They're made with bacon jam. What doesn't taste better with bacon jam?
Yeah, bacon.
My kids even eat these. So those are really amazing. We have Calbee steak bites. We just have some fun stuff to graze on and enjoy one of our signature craft cocktails. And
you can watch Niles do his magic.
Yeah, I like to say lift your spirits with Niles.
Lift your spirits with
Niles. Or have
some
smiles
with
Niles.
That could be on a shirt, too.
I think so. You know,
you should start,
or maybe your clothes.
I think you might need to start a t-shirt posters. Company here.
You could throw it down.
Write this down.
I'm gonna write both those down. I always
say you
should
start selling all sorts of shirts online here for Edmunds.
Oh, I love it.
So I think that kind of covers everything. We talked about promotions.
Any big things coming up this summer? Also, any big events? Are you partaking in anything else besides what you kind of already touched on? Or
so the things that we talked about are pretty much it. You know, that are really excited about Sunset Live, and we hope that Thursday nights will morph into a Friday, Saturday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, maybe even year round if it takes off.
Nice.
But again. We'll do 2 to 3 wine dinners. We've got another bourbon dinner coming up. It's going to be
perfect.
Bourbon and blue cheese.
Yum.
Again, a decadent evening. So we're really just mapping out. In fact, we'll send it to you because it's almost done. We're mapping out our whole calendar for the year.
Perfect.
So we'll map out when we're doing our wine dinners, our bourbon dinners, our cocktail classics, the annual cocktail classic, the cocktail classes, the cooking demonstrations. So we're like I said, mixing it up and always trying to have things going on here.
That's
at 190
nice, though,
Sunset.
Because if you miss something, then you know there's always something on the horizon. Like
exactly.
Maybe you had family in town for one, or, you know.
Exactly. Ooh, that's exciting, too. We are. So one of the most exciting things we're doing is we've just partnered with Puget Sound Express. They're the well-watching guys. And their biggest hub for out of their many communities they do it out of is Edmunds.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-boggling how many thousands of people they put through Edmunds every year.
Yeah.
They just launched a brand new boat called the Saratoga.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous. We just partnered with them. So their boat is idle at night, frankly. It's because they're doing the well-watching tours at night, during the day, I should say. So we partnered with them. We're going to be doing a cocktail cruise coming up. Soon. We hope that will morph into maybe even a cocktail dinner cruise at some point. We're also hope to do a wedding on board.
Just any wedding?
Yeah, any wedding. Well, there's a couple that we've already have the reception booked, and they're going to want to get married on the boat
and
then have the reception here. Do pictures on the beach. It's going to be really quite sensational. But it's a beautiful boat. We're on the water, so why not? That's really,
that's
truly exciting.
A good idea.
And Sarah and her
just
folks.
Just don't take it to full speed while people are drinking, right? falling over in there.
It's pretty. It's a pretty big boat.
Yeah, it is a big boat.
But anyway, it's fun. We're really looking forward to that. We also do the catering for the Cascadia Art Museum. And if you haven't been in, I hope you'll do a podcast with the founder, Lindsay Eckelbarger. Fabulous museum, getting national acclaim. They were on the cover of LA Times recently, on the cover of the art section.
Wow.
So they're getting some international and national notoriety.
Yeah.
But we do wonderful events in there. We did we did 150 folks for one of their galas last night over there.
Wow.
And regularly we'll do dinners from 100 to 150 sit-down dinners for local clients and or weddings or receptions or parties. We're also kind of become known for where Edmunds celebrates.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Meaning, you know, we've had tons of, last summer, and we're going to do it again this summer, we had both Woodway and Edmunds High School celebrating their 30-year reunions.
Oh, yeah.
And that was quite fun. And very interesting to watch, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure.
Especially later in the night as the night progresses. You know, keep an eye on the back hallway. But
things get exciting.
It was pretty cool. And then we'll do, we have tons of 30, 40, and 50 birthday okay. parties. In fact, the last one we did was a combination. It was really a fun gala. We had two of our favorite guests celebrating. She was celebrating her 60th, and the husband was celebrating his 70th birthday party.
Fun.
Had 125 guests. We opened up the corridor, had champagne, and passed around appetizers in the main foyer.
I was going to ask, so where do you...
So it was in the main foyer of the building here.
Okay.
For an hour cocktails, and then they sat down to a beautiful tablecloth and formal sit-down dinner okay. for tables of eight for a lobster and steak dinner.
And did they do that in here?
No, it was in the museum.
Oh, museum.
And then came across back to where we are here in our private dining room for a live band and music for dancing till the wee hour. So,
wow, that's really fun. It's like a progressive.
It was very fun. And so anyway, it's like I said, always mixing it up and trying to keep it fresh. But we've got some great party space. And like I said, we're really becoming known for where Edmunds celebrates.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's really unique.
You've got something great going on here, and you guys are really, I think you guys have really gotten into your stride and are really doing well.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for coming down, and we know that you're guests of ours.
Yeah.
And so.
And we love, you know, being able to promote Edmunds and everyone in it and get more people to come into Edmunds and check it out and enjoy everything that we enjoy and, can never go wrong with that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, awesome to have you here. Thanks for coming.
Anything else from you?
No, I think we covered it.
Okay. Well, thanks everyone for listening. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.